he'd been way up in the northwest. Where's Vancouver? I think on the map. Back in the northwest for the last, I don't know, probably 9 months or so, and doing some caregiving and with some organizations. He's back here for at least for today. So welcome, Gerald. Good to see you again. mighty fun. Again, there is an outline in the bulletin. You're very welcome to follow along. Title of the lesson was just excuses. I might also title the lesson "The Slighted Invitation." That was the invitation went out. All things are ready, but no, I don't want to come. You might have another title for the lesson. There's no excuse for your excuse. Are the inexcusable excuses, unacceptable excuses? Might also title the lesson in form of a question, why are you not a Christian? What's your reasoning? What's your excuse? I'll give a little, in the introduction, I'm going to review the story that Jesus told on this occasion. Verse 17, he mentions, say to them, come, for all things are ready. They'll come to the feast. Illustration of a practice back in Bible times. I know you're probably familiar with it. But they, when someone hosted a supper, or you might think of a banquet or a get-together, the first invitation was sent out, kind of announcing the supper. Back in verse 16, the verse preceding this one, certain man made a great supper and invited many. We might think of it as today when you're going to have a get-together and you maybe send out a save-the-date announcement. Tell what Jesus is doing. We'll have a great supper. You'll get ready. You're invited. But then there was a second invitation that went out when everything was ready. And that's verse 17. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited, come, all things are now ready. Of course, the application of the text is that Jesus is sending an invitation out to the Jews and the Jewish leaders, telling them to come to me. I'm the Son of God, the promised Messiah. But they rejected Jesus as their promised Messiah. They said, no, and we're not coming to you. And they did everything to plot against him. So in verse 18, in the story that Jesus tells, it says they all with one consent began to make excuse. Verse 18, the first one said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Nothing sinful, nothing wrong with buying a plot of ground. It's a good work. It's a noble deed. It's innocent. It's legitimate. There's nothing wretched about it, nothing unlawful. But the invitation that is being sent out should have been accepted. Maybe we could reason with them. Jesus doesn't. It's interesting, isn't it? That when they, in the story that Jesus tells, they begin to make an excuse. And there's no pleading, there's no praying, there's no reasoning. Oh, no, there's something else. You have a lot of time to go ahead and take care of that land. In fact, why don't you come to the feast? And there's always tomorrow to take care of the land. But Jesus doesn't do that. There's no reasoning. He just says at the very end, those that were bidden, when they rejected it, they're not coming to the feast. Wow. What's your excuse for not becoming a Christian? Someone offered a second excuse. No doubt thinking in their mind, this is good and this is legitimate and valid. Surely if I tell the master of the house this, I'm sure I'll be excused. I just know it. I feel it in my heart. Probably the way they're thinking. Verse 19. Another said, I bought go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Nothing wrong with taking care of business. It's a necessity of life. But again, the invitation should have been accepted first. Probably if Jesus was going to reason with this excuse maker, he might say, you know, there'll always be time to prove them. Perhaps you should have proved them before you bought them. Should have chosen a different time to do this. But don't go prove your oxen during supper hour. When the invitation that all things are ready, come to the feast. Oh, I pray thee, have me excused. The master of the house says, no. You're not excused. Let me say that again. The master of the house said, you're not excused. Verse 20. Another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I can't come. No, it's interesting, too, when you look at the excuses. The first one, you know, I bought a piece of ground and knew I need to go see it. Next one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go prove them. The third one says, I've married a wife. That's no other explanation. He's probably thinking, well, that's it. I'm married, so I can't come. Nothing wrong with marriage. Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable. Wow. Even the Old Testament made allowances for someone that's newly married. You know that? Back in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5, says, when a man is newly married, newly married man, he shall not go out with the army or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he's taken. Don, you were in the Navy when you married Bobby while you were in the service. Did you go to your commanding officer and say you need to be excused for a year? You didn't do that? You say, wait a minute, you say, Mr. CEO, I'm married. You know, I can't go out on a West Pack. I'm married. I need a year to stay home and make Bobby happy. Bobby probably already told the CEO, no, you take him. For a year. For that year. I want him out of my way for a year.
There's only 8 months.
But yeah.
You let me know.
Maybe this man in the story that Jesus tells remembered that Old Testament law, and he probably thought the master of the house would understand. I'm married, have the excuse. But none of the excuses were accepted. The master of the house was angry. Verse 21. And in verse 24, I say to you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Jesus doesn't debate the excuses. He doesn't try to persuade them or reason them out of the excuse. These people just simply made the excuse, and Jesus simply concludes, you've rejected my invitation, and it doesn't matter what the reason is, you will not come to the feast. There's no excuse for our excuses that we give for not giving our life to God. You think about what you've been reasoning within yourself. Now, I know you think, I have a good excuse. I have a great excuse. And I know that when I face God or Jesus in judgment, I can say, just like these people in the story, I pray thee, have me excused. So the master of the house now sends the servant out in verse 21. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. In verse 23, go out into the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The application of this story, of this parable that Jesus tells, is that the invitation to the supper is now not limited to the Jews who were first invited, but now to the Gentiles, those outside the city of Jerusalem. You go to the highways and the hedges. You don't stay in the city now. The application of the parable is that Jesus, who's the master of the house, extends an invitation to a world of people to come to the feast or to come to salvation. Jesus commissions the apostles in Matthew chapter 6 or Mark chapter 16, verse 15. You go into all the world. Go everywhere, highways and hedges. Compel them to come in. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's the story and the message of the film. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all, ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So you have to come. Take my yoke upon me, or on you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, all three excuses were rejected by the master of the house. Simply put, God will not be manipulated by man-made excuses. No matter what your excuse is, when God makes a requirement, it's a requirement, it's an obligation. There's no excuse for your excuse. That's the parable. Lesson, what a priority by putting your notes. First things first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. Jesus said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your food, clothing, shelter. Things legitimate. Things honest. Necessary for earthly living. Yeah, we seek after those things just like the Gentiles do. But then the next phrase is, your heavenly Father knows you have need of those things. What's your excuse for God? But God, you know, I really need this over here, and I can't come to you right now. Yeah. Really? Your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of all these things. He already knows. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the next phrase, and all these things shall be added unto you. You seek those things first, and you can't enjoy the feast that God has for you. He says, I want you to come to the feast first, and you'll have what you want. The people that had the field should have come to the feast and taken care of the field later. Those that bought the oxen should have come to the feast and they could have proved them later. It doesn't matter if you married a wife. They were refused. You're not going to have any part in the feast. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, another illustration. Came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him, meaning Jesus, into her house. Feast. A little supper together. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Nothing wrong with serving. Nothing. That's a gallant task. Enjoy a little snack, sure. She said, bid her to come help me. Oh, Martha. I'm busy over here serving. Would you have my sister who's sitting at your feet listening to your word, would you have her leave that and come help me in the kitchen? That's what she's asking. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Yeah. Probably sound like a pretty good excuse, though, didn't it? God, Lord, I can't come hear you now because I'm busy in the kitchen. I'm doing a good work. Don't you want to eat after your lesson is finished? Yeah. But Jesus, Jesus doesn't denounce it. Doing certain things to entertain a guest in a house is honorable. But Jesus says, but what's needful at the moment, right now, at this time of day, right here, Mary has chosen the good part. The unspoken message is, Martha, you need to stop and join us, not, oh, right, Martha, we need to stop what we're doing and go help you in the kitchen. No. Jesus didn't say that. Doesn't denounce her, but he says, oh, when you look at the two ladies, Martha, you need to join us. And your excuse is inexcusable. Martha, you stop what you're doing and come here. We're not stopping what we're doing to join you in the kitchen. Maybe when the lesson is finished, we can take care of that. But right now, at this moment, Martha, you need to be here. Your excuse is rejected. What's your excuse for not becoming a Christian? What's your excuse for not being baptized? What's your excuse for not being as diligent in the Lord's service? What I want you to do is write it down on a slip of paper. And then when you write your excuse down for why you're not as dedicated as and obligated as Jesus outlines for us, write that down. Give it to me. And at your funeral, if I'm the one that does it, I'll take that excuse that you just gave and I'll put it in your cold hand. And then in the resurrection, at the judgment, I want you to let go of it and give it to Jesus as an explanation on why you did not become a Christian. Or why you're not as dedicated as you should be. I don't know, but in my imagination, I see Jesus taking that paper. Remember, you think it's a good excuse. And he may read it. And then in Hebrews 9, verse 27. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Because I've not spoken from myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment of what I should say and what I should speak. And I know his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. Now Jesus says all things are ready. Come to the feast. Next week, Lord willing, I wrote down some excuses that people have given me over the years on why they're not becoming a Christian, or maybe why they're not as dedicated or faithful, and I'm going to try to answer these. It'll probably go a couple of weeks, I'm sure. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I may want to belabor the point. But here's what you can look forward to. You may have said, I've got 21 things already written down. I want you to add to my list. If I don't have your excuse listed here, you give it to me. I've heard people say the Christian life is too difficult. I'm going to reason that out a little bit. Too many hypocrites in the church. Well, join them. Fit right in. Welcome aboard. I'm good enough, and God ought to be satisfied with that. Oh, really? Too many churches. I didn't know which one to attend. I don't want to give up Sunday morning bowling league. I felt pretty safe with bowling. I don't know what your hobby is or sport, what you're really interested in, but I just felt like bowling, I'm pretty safe with that one. Anybody bowling Sunday morning? I don't want to lose popularity. I don't think I can live the Christian life for very long, someone said. I'm too old. My parents don't want me to obey. Someone said, I don't believe in God. I'll have to try to answer some of these things. I'm waiting for someone else to become a Christian with me. I'm too great a sinner. Someone else said, I still have plenty of time left. I've heard people say, well, I want to feel saved before I make a decision. Number 16, someone said, I got too much religion when I was a kid. What's your point? I want to sleep in on Sunday mornings. Don't hook me, buddy. That's a hard one not to do. I'm afraid of what I'll be called on to do. Some people say, I want to become a Christian. You know, I'm going to have to go to work. Then what I've always appreciated, I don't want all these people to see me with my hair wet, meaning when they're baptized. Not going to become a Christian. I've got an answer for all these. Number 20, I have a fear of standing in front of people and I have to do that to make a confession. Last night, but I don't want to leave my parents' religion. Well, we'll talk about these starting next week. Well, excuses. Of course, you know the answer is there's no excuse. There's no excuse. But if you think you have one, write it down. Give it to me. I'll put it at your funeral, Lord willing, if I'm doing it. Because you think it's a good excuse for not obeying or not being a dedicated servant, a good steward. Well, always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. You're here this morning and not a member of the New Testament Church. What's your excuse? You simply have to hear the Word of God. God's soul-saving message. Believe it. And then turn your life around. That's repentance. And then confess your faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And you can be baptized for remission of sins. And rise and walk in newness of life. That's the invitation. And it's to all the world, every creature.